Hey, everybody, welcome to this edition of America Tonight. What a way to start a week off. I'll tell you what, I was stunned by this, traveling back from the West Coast, hearing what was going on in Washington, D.C., and that's where we begin ATN with me, Kate Delaney. The world on the East Coast and beyond was really shattered when Aaron Alexis, the man suspected of now really ending the lives of 13 people at the Washington Naval Yard, was somebody who decided he was going to change lives. He had a military-issued ID card, and he was going to begin working at the Naval Yard in D.C. as a civilian, and he went on a rampage. That's exactly what happened. He went on a rampage. He was the only one involved in this. It was a Monday morning, a normal kind of lazy Monday morning that turned into a nightmare. 34 years old, Alexis was killed after an encounter with security eventually. The people who were killed at the Navy Yard in this Monday morning shooting were ages 46. They ranged in age from 46 to 73. And they're trying, they just tried desperately to figure out why he aimed his gun and started firing at people in the Naval Yard. They're trying to piece this together. Here's Captain Mark Vandroff talking about things like describing the gunshots, what the employees did, the barricades, the police evacuations, everything that happened as this unfolded.
Looked up and saw that there were bullet holes in the conference room wall above us. We stayed on the floor. Most of us were on our BlackBerries trying to text each other. I was trying to make sure I knew where all the people there who worked for me were. They knocked on the door. They identified themselves as police. We unbarricaded. They identified us as not aggressors. Then they told us to put our hands over our head and follow. They had an officer that, you know, said, follow this officer. Police came. Got us out of the barricade, evacuated us out of Building 197 to another building on the Navy Yard, got people water, some food, bathroom.
All right, to re-rack this, if you just tuned in, 8:20 in the morning, all hell broke loose at the Washington Naval Yard when Aaron Alexis, who had clearance, he was going to start working at the Navy Yard. He had a military ID card, but he was going to work as a civilian. He opened fire on people. He also wounded about 14 other people, but killing 13. He had an AR-15, so a semi-automatic rifle, if you will, another rifle and a semi-automatic Glock handgun. That's what was accounted for afterwards. And the first thing that comes to your mind is, wow, how does this guy get in there? How does he get this clearance? Could this have been prevented? Nothing but questions like that are swimming in your head. And it all started in the middle of what would have been, as I said, a very average Monday morning. How many clearances are issued at this Naval Yard? That would be my question. How many people like this are able to get these kinds of clearances? I mean, of course, you can't. Is there really a way to look at someone and say, well, this guy looks like he's a potential maniac, somebody who could just lose it and open fire? Certainly not. The people around him at least are not really coming to that conclusion at this point as they try to piece together what this man was all about. And if you think of how many people have security clearances, not just at the Washington Naval Yard, but throughout the Defense Department and other areas, I mean, you know, you're talking millions of people. And this goes back to that whole bureaucracy thing and how big we've become. So maybe this is, sadly, another red flag that goes up. Okay, now we're going to rethink what's happening here. The shooter, they say, had anger management issues. He had at one point discharged a gun into the ceiling of his apartment and into the tires of a construction crew, but he was never charged for any of that. He was discharged from the Navy Reserve after disciplinary problems. So look at where he ended up and look at what happened. Wow. Witnesses say they were stunned. They heard a fire alarm go off in a building where they worked. Then they saw a man with a rifle down the hallway as they ran out of the building. So some people were able to escape the fire. He just opened fire. People running downstairs, desperately trying to get out of the building, pushing, shoving, falling down, trying to climb over the wall, trying to get out of the naval yard. There were injuries, which included a Washington cop who's hospitalized, a base security guard officer, and many others. So the good news is that there are people that are expected to survive this. Ugh, the trauma. And think of those people that are just simply there working in the Navy Yard. As I said, they're trying to piece together the profile of this Alexis guy. And apparently, he was frustrated with the contractor he was working with about some kind of payment deal, a civilian contractor. But nobody thought that he was aggressive or violent. They didn't think that this is what he was possible. This wasn't possible for him to do this, but he did do it. So you had SWAT teams. You had 20 special agents that ran to the scene. You had the FBI, the Capitol Police, you had the local DC police. As soon as the shots went off, everybody was calling 911. Security was stepped up at the Pentagon. 8 schools were on lockdown. Air traffic to Reagan National Airport in Northern Virginia was suspended after the shooting for a while and then started back up again. So you can only imagine what people were thinking when this originally happened. So we'll talk about this. What are some of the things that have to be done heading into the future, and just how darn sad it is, obviously, for those families. You feel for them, to be sure, going to the work in the Naval Yard and not thinking about it. I have a friend that works for the Navy in Philly and said that everybody was on high alert. Anybody connected to the Navy, because they didn't really know what was happening originally once again. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to Luke Vargas from Talk Radio News. He covers the UN. The UN Chemical Weapons Report, the inspector's report, released today. 50 pages, and what does it all mean? What were the findings? What were the things that couldn't be found because it had been too much time and there wasn't enough time to go through the 5 different sites? We're going to chat with Luke Vargas about that and what it all means coming up around the bend here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig a long time ago. LeCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
UN weapons report, chemical weapons report, has come out. And Luke Vargas, who covers the UN for Talk Radio News, has joined us many, many times talking about Syria and the situation there. And remember, we go back to the Damascus suburbs on August 21st now, and now we have that. And in breaking it down, there's some interesting things, including the fact that they only had 7.5 hours to actually inspect. You know, they apparently there was a ceasefire and the window should have been much bigger. They should have had it up to 20 hours. But I'm going to let Luke Vargas, who knows all about this report, flush it out even deeper for us. Luke, as always, good to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
I'm happy to be here.
So when you first started to break down the report, what are, like, give us a couple of main points that popped out immediately at you.
But one of the things I found interesting was the access that the UN team was able to secure from the Assad government and from members of the opposition. When I was at the UN press briefing a few weeks ago, while these investigators were in Damascus, I asked the spokesperson if there was some sort of agreement with the government allowing them safe access to the airport if for any reason they needed to get out of the city. Essentially pushing for details about their security. I wasn't given an answer really at all. They were engaging a lot of questions that day, but not mine. It turns out that this may be why. In the report, they talk a little bit about the logistics of their mission. Apparently, there was a five-hour sort of de facto ceasefire that was agreed upon by the Assad government and the opposition for a period of 4 days. So as you noted, that would be about 20 hours of inspection time, which for about five different sites seems like a fair amount of time. But if you actually look into the report as to how much time they were able to spend at these sites, it's significantly less, about 7.5 hours. Part of that owes to the fact that, as you might remember, this chemical weapons team was shot at by a sniper on their first day just as they were leaving the hotel. So they ran into logistical troubles pretty quickly, and they did only about 2 hours of inspection in two different neighborhoods and then 5.5 across two others. But this is a lengthy report, about 50 pages, but it doesn't contain all that much, and it may owe to that short time frame. There are only about 36 individuals who were tested, urine and hair samples. There's a good amount of evidence here, but a lot of it the inspectors concede had to sort of be tossed out because of contamination of some of the various sites that they went to.
Yeah, and speaking of going to those various sites and whether contaminated or not, is it conclusive? I mean, how many cases are they saying that they know sarin was used?
They don't really have a distinction between sarin being used in isolation or sarin being used in a widespread fashion. They went to five different sites where shells had fallen, and they made the determination that three of the sites, the evidence had been so compromised, I'm quoting here, saying the sites have been well-traveled by other individuals both before and during the investigation. During the investigation, I guess they weren't able to clear people out of the streets as they were inspecting. Fragments and other possible evidence have clearly been handled or moved prior to the arrival of the investigation team. So they had to throw out 60% of the sites that they went to on that fact alone, saying they couldn't make detailed observations. But at some of the observations they did make, 31 of 34 people who had blood drawn tested positive for having sarin gas in their bloodstream, which is probably the most conclusive evidence that this report was able to come up with.
Wow. What were the symptoms that they came up with and what they were able to gather from all the evidence? They talked about that they did kind of a mini portrait, and you spelled that out. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I as you probably remember, from the hours and days after the attack, we were just bombarded by social media footage of people convulsing in the street and people foaming at the mouth, and wasn't really sure even if what we were looking at was coming from Damascus or was just footage from some of the other places where there have been atrocities committed in the Syrian civil war. But what we were able to determine here in that about the majority of patients inspected, there were only two symptoms that occurred in more than 50% of people. Those were labored breathing and the loss of consciousness. Now, the loss of consciousness might explain why people couldn't self-report feeling other things. But as you go down the list, blurred vision, disorientation, and then a little bit less down, about 20% are the more intense symptoms, which are salivation, vomiting, and convulsions. And again, convulsions were sort of what we were told was happening to everybody on the ground around this attack. And you know, just by looking at the UN statistics, it seems like a smaller group of the people that they interviewed experienced that. But there is no notation in this report about how the patients were chosen for this. The UN basically said they contacted the doctor, a few doctors and hotel for hospital administrators who helped set up the patients. There wasn't an explanation of why these patients were still in the hospital 5 days later, if all they had were some minor symptoms, if people were brought back to the hospital to be evaluated. So we've got some numbers here. They're somewhat interesting, but I don't think they really tell the whole story.
All right, and we're speaking with Luke Vargas from Talk Radio News. He covers the UN, of course, and we're talking about the chemical weapons report. What was the reaction to this? Because, you know, people were waiting with bated breath. This was the whole thing. Okay, yeah, you know, even Vladimir Putin, that was his whole thing. Oh, well, don't condemn Assad and what happens here because we don't have all the evidence, all the facts. Let's wait for the UN. Let's wait to see what happens. So what's the reaction early going anyway on this from the day?
Well, the Russians are said to have challenged quite vocally some of the findings by the lead Swedish scientist in this during a closed session of the council today. I don't know what he said. I guess that might take some time to come out, but he was apparently refuting a few of the scientific conclusions reached by the team here. I'm guessing the blame, the criticism will come down to the types of rockets used. In the report, they list two different types of rockets. You've had certain human rights campaigners over the past few hours making statements that I didn't know they were able to make. Human Rights Watch, for example, issuing quite a lengthy statement saying the rebels had never possessed 130-millimeter and 330-millimeter artillery shells in the past. It seems like a little bit outside of their traditional work to be making a statement like that. But nonetheless, the people are weighing in. So I think the UN didn't do itself many favors here in the way that they released this document. This is sort of the biggest document that's come through New York Secretariat this year. And there were a few instances where they really muddled the launch here. This is not an Apple computer's strategic unveiling. You had Ban Ki-moon talking to some women at a forum on Friday. He apparently implied that he'd seen the report and sort of said what it was going to contain. Then his spokespeople had to backtrack, saying, oh, it's not going to be released until Monday. We don't want to prejudge. And then a photo published yesterday by the UN's own wire service showed the front page of this report. It was actually quite hard to see, but apparently in receiving the report from the lead scientist at Ban Ki-moon's own house yesterday, they took a photo of the ceremonial handing over of the document, and a foreign policy magazine reporter was able to zoom in on the photo that was thankfully quite high resolution and basically break the whole thing open. So by the time we all woke up this morning, we knew what the report was going to be a full 6 or 7 hours in advance of the unveiling. So if the UN wanted to make a splash here and keep everyone waiting for their results, I think they might have dropped the ball a little bit.
Yeah, so the UN investigates and all that stuff happens, and now what happens moving forward? What does this mean now as this whole thing is digested, at least from the UN's perspective? What are we going to see maybe in this next week? Anything?
Well, we heard from Samantha Power, who I'll just reiterate, gave a press conference about 10 days ago at the United Nations saying the U.S. was finished with the Security Council, that we were tired of gridlock. We know what the result is going to be on the council before we even bring a motion forward, and that the UN's work was kind of redundant, that this chemical weapons inspection was a delaying tactic for the Assad government. Today we heard something totally different. She was applauding the work of the UN, saying that President Obama and his administration are very thankful for the fact that they were so diligent in putting this report together, and then saying something that I think will lead her right back to her exasperation that she felt 10 days ago, saying she was pulling out of the UN. She said she would continue to back a French initiative to file a UN Security Council resolution under Chapter 7, which would make it enforceable by lethal measures. That's something Russia and China have long said is a non-starter for them. So the U.S. Seems to be indicating it would be willing to go back to the UN to try to ink down what has been agreed to by the Assad government here, but the context in which they're doing it seems to be setting them up for the failure that they were running away from just a few days ago. So this might be a very sickening loop-de-loop here that we're about to go through again.
Yeah, well said. That's what I think. It's kind of just a carousel going round and round the loop, as you said. That's what I think we're going to continue to see. It's going to be an interesting week, that's for sure. Luke Vargas, Talk Radio News, great job. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival
survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
With the well-known shortage of availability in guns and ammo, the question is, will food and preparedness items be next? Now, at ProStoresDirect.com, buy a 32-serving bug-out bucket, and you'll get a prime assortment of Mountain House survival food entrees, including favorites like chili mac with beef and spaghetti and meat sauce, all made with real USDA meat. That's enough food for one adult for a full week, all for just $75.99 with free shipping, delivered in a handy, resealable bucket that'll store for up to 25 years. Pro Stores Direct has a huge selection of family-sized food units too, right up to military-grade number 10 cans. And we'll give you great deals on new military first aid and surgical kits, portable water filters, heirloom seeds, and all your bug-out gear. Always with free shipping to the lower 48. Be ready for any challenge with food security for your family at ProStoresDirect.com. ProStoresDirect.com, your first stop for preparedness and survival gear, and proud sponsor of the free media.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clouds up my window.
Thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight. As I said at the top of the show, kicking off the week with a couple of big things, more on Syrian chemical weapons. And later during this show, we will be talking to someone who's a former CIA analyst who briefed almost every president starting way back to the Kennedy era. Ray McGovern joins us for a couple of segments to kick around what he believes really is happening with the Syria information, and also some thoughts about Iran and nuclear capability. You know, how often on this show do I say, back in the Ahmadinejad era especially, that it was the evil empire and you still had to watch your back with Iran, and they were gathering uranium for, you know, nuclear weapons. And he says that's not the case at all, and that was something that was looked into. And back in 2003, at the end of 2003, it was declared that Iran was not working on a nuclear weapon, but a lot of that information never saw the light of day because it wasn't to the advantage of the right people. Ooh. And he talks about the NSA and the goof-ups there and whatnot. So that's coming up in our next hour of ATN. Colorado also in the news, besides the shooting at the D.C. Navy Yard, which is still just unbelievable. Like I said, a Monday morning, no one's expecting that to happen. And my goodness, here comes a guy who's going to start working there, and he starts shooting people full on, and they're flying over walls and running down hallways and just trying to run for cover to do anything they can. The people in Colorado were running for cover of a different sort. They say now the flood damage could exceed $1 billion, but the waters haven't receded. If you have not been paying attention, it has been a massive emergency, a hellacious couple of weeks in general in Colorado. And if you think of the summer, all those wildfires and some of what happened there and how brutal that was. And now these floods in northern Colorado will hit all of the people that certainly saw their houses float away. They had to be evacuated. Thousands of people were evacuated. But this is a state that is heavy on tourism and heavy on ag and a bunch of other things, too, that will absolutely be slammed by it. Colorado's going to be struggling. They think $1 billion because you have homes, roads, bridges, other infrastructure that was destroyed by these floods. In fact, 1,500 homes wiped out. 17,000 plus other types of structures damaged. How many people had to be evacuated? Because really it's about the people. Forget about the structures for a second and the moment, you know, the mementos people have and pictures and all the things that make you so bloody sad. But it's about human lives, right? 11,000 plus people were forced to evacuate. How devastating is that? And they're going to be picking up the pieces for a while. For a while they're going to be doing this. I mean, it's, you know, the towns there, you think of the skiing, you think of people even visiting in the summertime. I mean, this is a big financial blow. Huge financial blow. And they're still worried about the water, which has not receded. It has not receded. And they're looking. I mean, the grief of these people. You know, they say there was how many people missing? Because that's the thing. Everybody with the evacuations are trying to figure out who's there, who they can't find. Are they okay? How many can they confirm that have died? And the flooding has left 4 people confirmed dead. But there are hundreds of people that are unaccounted for. At one point, they were saying like 500 people not accounted for. That's scary. Because what does it mean? They jumped on these. See, that's the thing. They had helicopters that were pulling people up, and they were just getting people out, getting people out, getting people out. Mother Nature was nasty. Not cooperating. Wind and rain and you name it thrown in their direction. Sunday was a rough day. They need a break in the weather. That's what they're hoping for. And people said it was crazy. They woke up, and it sounded like strong wind. They weren't sure. And then they saw water running all around their houses. I mean, just shooting around their house. That's the sound that they heard. Oh, it's funny. I say on this show, you think it's not going to happen to you. Then all of a sudden, you're in the middle of this thing. And you think, why didn't I? Geez, where's my stuff? I have to find this. I got to grab this. And there was a guy I saw on one of the cable stations. I was in an airport and I was watching, and he talked about grabbing his dog. He talked about grabbing a birth certificate. He talked about grabbing a picture and running and hoping that, you know, maybe he'd be able to come back and his house would be at least okay, or he could pull things out of the house. So the people that they have confirmed dead, a man, a woman, they were just 19, and it was that story of being swept away. They were in their car, and they were in Boulder County, and then that was it. The woman left the car, and then the man jumped out and tried to save her, and that was sadly it. Then they found somebody in a collapsed home, and then they found somebody else in a roadway in Colorado Springs. So it's been pretty scary, to say the least, with those floodwaters. And mud and everything else that, you know, comes along with that. Luckily, they had Chinook helicopters that were picking people up and getting them out of the harm's way as much as they could. But what they're going to have to do to repair these roads, whoo! I've spent some time in Colorado. It is beautiful. I mean, it really is. It's eye candy. Almost the whole state is just one giant eye candy. It is. But now you start to do the math and you start to think about it, and boy, they are going to, you know, what are the permanently damaged areas? What are between the fire and between the floods? And that is tough. Very, very tough. And I think this was the thing that people, I noticed, that people were talking about. I always say America Tonight is about the buzz in, you know, your backyard and my backyard. And people were talking about Colorado, Colorado, how many people are missing and what are they saying about how many people are accounted for and, you know, all that kind of stuff. As we move along here, something comes to mind that I said at the top of the show when I was talking about the fact that, you know, we have this naval yard shooting and here you have innocent people who were just going to work who were killed by working in this Navy yard in Washington, D.C., and they were full-on getting their coffee, arriving at work. So there were a lot of people there, 13 dead altogether, so 12 and the suspect. Aaron Alexis died in this. And as they're trying to piece this together and figuring out, well, how did he get the clearance and how did this happen and this rampage, how, you know, what was it that, why did he go off? What was it that made him do that? He was aiming and firing and said he just had a look of just dead eyes with this, what he was described as. And to me, I think it's a partially also about clearance. Now, how many times will you say on the show we talk about, at least some of us, that the government is gigantic? Well, when you have millions and millions of people who are getting clearance, how are they running those clearance checks? What do you think? Too much clearance? Too much access? 855-266-5283. Keep that in mind. 855-266-5283. I'm going to say too much clearance. We saw that in a different way with the whole Ed Snowden thing in the NSA. Well, they got caught because he's a contractor. He has easy access to the info, and then they're embarrassed by how easy it was. And then you think about what's the security like. 3,000 people work at the Navy Yard, and that means civilians work there. Junior service members work there. Isn't that supposed to be secure? So how does that happen? How does this happen? Boom, 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 shots. Somebody heavily armed. And just like that, lives are changed. And people are scurrying, running around. It's chaotic. And all of the law enforcement there. And you think about it. You have everybody. You have everybody who's anyone, and you have everybody as far as bodies that can easily get to scenes, and they did. But it went so fast. I mean, within 7 minutes, they had shooter teams inside the building. They were moving through the building. And the first responders said it was one of the worst things they've ever seen. You know, with first responders, often they have to go through therapy after some of the horrific things they see, just like in Newtown, Connecticut. And when they looked down, they saw lots of people on the ground, lots of people killed. And workers flying out of the Navy complex. It's huge. I've been there. It's huge. And what are they doing? They're trying so hard to just get out of there. I mean, this is high-level Navy people, too, as well, at this yard. And so now the questions abound. This guy responsible for the rampage, what was the deal with him, and also clearances, I think. I think that's fair to question that. How many people get these clearances? How do you get into the Navy Yard and do this? And you know people were automatically thinking terrorism, and it wasn't. I mean, it's this guy, lone guy, aiming his gun at people and shooting them. And then offices all over the place were locked down. FAA stopped air traffic at Reagan National Airport. I already talked about that. Department of Transportation locked down. Some Senate offices locked down. Awful. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to check the mailbag. Plus, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283.
Mm-hmm. Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it. Because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Makes me think of that movie Rush that's coming out that Ron Howard directed that looks to be pretty good. Well, I'll save it for one of our cheap movie reviews. We do those every single week on our Thursday into Friday show. So make sure you tune in for that. Plus, our man down under, Jack, has a DVD review. And, boy, they are very entertaining, I have to say. He does a great job with that. Not a lot of entertainment on this show. We've been talking about heavy subjects, obviously sad, brutal things like the shooting at the D.C. Navy Yard. Lots of questions spring out at you immediately, like who has clearances and how does he get to this point with all of those guns and he's able to tear it up at a place you would think would have some pretty decent security. And the why question is always hanging in the balance. Why? 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 What a day for me. I wake up in the morning to do the Los Angeles to Texas thing. And what are they talking about? They're talking about two kids that were found dead in a California hotel room. And the mother is arrested, accused of killing them because she was going through some nasty things in her life and was on edge. She was trying to commit suicide. And she crashed her car at a Home Depot parking lot in Santa Ana. And they found... And when they arrived in the parking lot, they found a cord around her neck, and she was trying to strangle herself with it. But she, and they found all kinds of crazy things. But also, they found the two kids in a hotel room, 13 and 10 years old. 13 and 10 years old. Oh, for goodness sake. Horrendous. Unbelievable. Heartbreaking. There are no words left for that or for this Navy Yard shooting. Crazy insanity. A lot of you had plenty to say about that, so without further ado, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Yeah, we do, and it's heavy mail. This from Fred in Illinois. Kay Delaney, I've never emailed this show before, but I wanted you to know that I listen when I can. When I can stay awake, that is. Sometimes I do a third shift, and then I'm definitely listening and find sometimes that I'm chuckling at some of the things that you say because I agree. Here's the scoop. The Navy Yard. I couldn't believe it. I was actually driving home from work grabbing some Joe when I heard what was going on. I'd never realized how serious it was until later in the day. I flipped on the old boob tube and saw the video coming out of there. I think it's just a disgrace. For goodness sake. How could they not know he had this arsenal? And how many people get those military clearances that are civilians? Wouldn't you think they would beef up the security a long time ago, perhaps even after 9/11? Yeah, you would think, I guess. That's, like I said, that's my question. And I know people who work for the Navy, including my own mother at one point worked for the Navy, and she was... in a different, she wasn't at a Navy shipyard in Philadelphia, but she was helping Navy personnel. And she worked downtown, and she had clearances, a lot, pretty high clearances. But I know that she went through a rigorous deal to get those. So it wasn't, you know, just lickety-split filling out a little bit of paperwork. So what's going on with that? I'd be curious there. I want to know more about how he got his clearances and how he got through with the guns and all that other sort of stuff. But unfortunately, 12 people paid the price with their life, and then multiply that by the families who were affected by that, and then the people who are in surgeries and recuperating in hospitals in Washington right now. And it's crazy. I actually went down and I looked at the list of the people that were killed. And, you know, these were people that some of them probably near retirement, a couple of them in their 60s and even a few in their 70s. It's just awful. A lot of them were civilians. A lot of them were civilians. So, you know, here we go again with some place where you would think of everywhere you would be, this is the kind of thing that's not going to happen. But it was a rampage. And it was a rampage at the headquarters for the Naval Sea Systems Command, specifically. And they think it's going to take another day or two till everyone's accounted for. There was people that were hero-ish type people that were trying to warn people or try to step in front of them or try to do something. There was a maintenance worker who tried to warn other people, and he was shot. And it's, you know, awful. It's awful that this happened. They had to fly some of the people that were shot to one hospital, and they tried to whisk others away, and they had gunshot wounds, and they were in their legs and other parts of their body. And the good news is that many of them are surviving it, but they've gone through these crazy surgeries. So they're trying to piece everything together, witnesses and what happened exactly, and you know, anything that they can find out. They did get there, and I already mentioned this, within 7 minutes, so that's the interesting thing. Or a lot of you had something to say about the Navy Yard. This one from Bob listening to us in Texas, because he says Bob from Texas. The thing at the Navy Yard is just disgraceful. The security lacks, once again, lacks at a Navy Yard. How easy would it be for a terrorist or someone else to get in there? And now we're just showing them the way when one of our own becomes cooped out of his head and decides that he's going to shoot people in a place where he was supposed to start working. This is ridiculous. Somehow, some way, we have got to get it together. Because of all places, you would think they could prevent this kind of carnage. I can't help but say the same thing. That's why it doesn't make any sense to me. You know, can you 100% protect everyone? Of course not. You cannot do that. But in the situation with the Navy Yard, with clearances and everything else, you would think you'd have a pretty good shot at it. And apparently this guy had some problems in the past, although it was obviously skipped over. Somehow some of what he did was skipped over in the past. And it's, again, another cowardly, heinous act, because what happens, in the end, the guy's dead, and it's more than a fool's errand. And of course, ultimately, it's the people who are the innocent victims that pay the price. Okay, this is from Manny. Manny says, I was stunned by the Navy Yard incident. I've worked in a Navy Yard myself in the past, not in Washington, D.C. I would have to think that some of the people are going to feel very traumatized by what they saw, Kate, because there was a lot of witnesses. From everything that I heard, people were really running to get away from him, and he was heavily, heavily armed. So I think that there's a few people that might actually want to stay home for a few days, no matter what they're told, and you just have to pray for the families of the people that were killed and for the families of the people who have undergone now maybe a surgery or two that were wounded. Yeah. All right, this one from Tom, who says, security, security, security. It's all about security. In the end, there must not have been that strong of security at this Navy Yard in Washington. You would think in a place like that, with the kind of people that could mill around, that there would be some pretty heavy security. So what could possibly have gone wrong here? Well, that's what they're, I'm sure, looking at right now. He opened fire in a building at the Navy Yard, and he had people trapped. And, you know, there were people injured, 14 or so people injured, and 12 people killed. How did he get this clearance? How did he get that valid pass to get the entry? He was doing contracting work. This seems to be a problem with the people that we are contracting in these various government agencies. All right, if you have any thoughts on the show or, of course, the big story at the Navy Yard, you can throw in your two cents by emailing us. Go to americatonight.net, click on contact. Thanks for listening to this hour of ATN.
Thomas Jefferson once said, when the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.